If there are any spirits in here tonight, will you tell me? Does it sound like Shakira? Le-le-le-le.
Roll it.
You're listening to the Boo Boys podcast.
All right. Well, my name's Dalton, and I am the host of the Boo Boys. Today I have a special guest, and his name is...
Chaz. Hello.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Chaz, for coming on this super great, awesome, popular show that everybody knows about.
Thank you for having me on this super great, awesome show that everybody knows about.
Luckily, we've known each other since high school, so this won't be awkward at all. We know exactly what to say, when to say it, and how to say it, right?
Completely. Utterly just rote, done it before 1,000 times.
Perfect. Let's go ahead and get into it. So our first topic of the day is actually going to be called Man Proposes, God Disposes. Now, this is a painting that was made in the late 1800s, and basically it's just this really super cursed painting, and it's huge too. It's like 8 feet long.
Whoa.
Yeah. So in 1845, there's a man named John Franklin, and he set out with a crew of like 130-ish men on a ship to basically go and explore Antarctica to determine if there was anything out there, all for England, you know. So they were only supposed to be gone for 3 years, but once 3 years and 6 months kind of went by, their friends and family started being like, where did they go? A small voyage went out to attempt to basically search and rescue, and didn't really come up with much until they found this small, like, community group out in the Arctic. Basically, they lived out there, and they said they knew that the men were there and they don't know what happened to them, but a bunch of their stuff was still within the village. In their stuff was actually bits and pieces of bodies and bones that looked like they had actually been cannibalized.
Oh.
So it's assumed that at some point they ran out of food and supplies and actually took to cannibalism.
And in the middle of a village, no less.
I'm not sure if it was in the middle of the village, or maybe it was like on their ship, or maybe they were walking on foot and they just happened to like carry the person that they ate's remains because they felt bad as it was. Maybe it was a kind of, he sacrificed himself and we're going to take him back to his family kind of a thing. There wasn't really an explanation on why. It's just sort of, you know, these people had him, and for all they know, the village people ate them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the guys in the expedition got into an argument with the other. He said, eat me. They believed him. And it just all.
Right. Well, so in this time, it's around 1845, Victorian England was going super well, and they basically just refused to believe that the ship would have resulted to cannibalism, whether or not they ran out of supplies, because that just isn't the way they do things. Like, that's not civilized. There was this man, and his name was Edwin Landseer. He seized the land. He basically kind of came up with his own thoughts on how the voyagers perished, and he created this painting that is supposed to depict what actually happened.
So an 8-foot-long fanfic about cannibalism is what we're about to look at.
Probably.
Hell yes.
Can you see that okay?
Yes. At first I thought those were mice, but those are polar bears.
Yeah, they're polar bears. So Edwin Landseer believed that the men actually would have been more likely eaten by polar bears than by the actual other men themselves, because, again, that's just not the way people do things in Victorian England.
I see.
And so this big, gigantic painting basically kind of floats around for a little while. What we see here is... you see part of the broken ship, and you see the two polar bears, and then you can actually make out, like, one of the polar bears is chomping on a rib on the lower right. He's having a good old time. It was an easy meal. Yeah, you know. So this painting gets created, and it's considered art and all this and that. And we kind of fast forward to a man named Thomas Holloway, who, he was the founder of the Royal Holloway College at the University of London. He actually purchased this painting specifically to have it in his school. Now, this guy is kind of a one-of-a-kind sort of guy at first. He created one of the first female colleges back at that time to basically push forward the idea that women can have deep thoughts and actually critically think over things. And so he thought that this painting would actually entice the women to question the idea of man versus nature, or the idea of a civilized society versus, you know, the thoughts towards civilized society.
Okay.
So yeah, he thought that that painting was going to be like the biggest deal to these ladies and really going to be thought-provoking, basically.
I mean, Yeah, like getting eaten by a large animal is something you don't really hear about in England, given they don't have very many large animals.
Right.
And man, like women can think, I'm going to show them some polar bears. This sounds like a silly thing.
Well, these cute and cuddly animals, you know, they're not always cute and cuddly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the major thought there.
Dangerous motherfuckers.
So it's basically said that this painting itself is haunted, though the painting itself isn't haunted by, like, the men who supposedly died or the painter itself. They're not really sure who to say the painting is haunted by. But it's
is it the
just,
polar bear?
Yeah, right. The polar bear just, like, comes out. Instead of a Britney Spears ghost, it's just, like, a mauling out of nowhere. So this painting still resides in that college, which is still an active college. People still go there and graduate and are people of society. But the thing is that this specific painting is in basically a grand hall that they use for testing and exams. And during tests and exams, they actually will cover the painting with a big Union Jack flag because they believe that the painting will basically drive you crazy if you look at it during a stressful time, like during a test. And the reason they think that is because in the 1970s, there was actually somebody who stabbed themselves in the eye with their pencil. And right before they did that, they had just been scribbling on their paper, the polar bears made me do it, the polar bears made me do it, the polar bears made me do it. And so since that point on, there have been other people that have also injured themselves, either stabbing themselves in the hand, just like running into a wall, and just, you know, some crazy things saying that the polar bears are making them do it. There are people that have failed their tests just because they basically put all the wrong answers because the polar bears told them to. It's pretty wild.
So either the painting is haunted or that university puts way too much pressure on their students.
Probably both. A little bit of both.
Mm.
So nobody will sit next to the painting if it's not covered up. Otherwise, they're afraid either they'll hurt themselves or they'll fail the test.
I don't blame them.
Ever since the 1970s, this painting has been covered up by the same Union Jack flag as the first time in the 1970s. It's like to this day.
It's impressive.
Questions? Thoughts? Concerns?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So has it been fairly regular of like people doing weird things, or is it like spurts over time? Is there any kind of time exists?
There aren't a whole lot of, at least online documented cases of people doing things, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there hasn't been other. It could also be a way that the school tries to kind of kill the rumor just by like not putting it out there. Because the less rumors there are, the less ideas that there are that this could be a problem, the more likely people aren't going to want to be near it or be in that same room. So even, I think, if there were worser things, we may not know about it.
Okay.
Personally, I don't know. Hmm. That's a long way for me to say that no thing online said whether or not there were worse things happening or just other things happening.
Hmm.
But from what I understand, they just always cover it up and then don't have to be about it.
I see. You know, someone ought to investigate whether they're like whether those polar bears roam the halls at night. I have a feel.
Do you think that they just know the hallways by now, or are they always just as curious when they're like roaming up?
I have a feeling that, like, similar to Night at the Museum, right? They finish chomping their paint bones, and like once they come alive at night, and then they start wandering, looking for more.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. And then the one janitor that knows about it is always just like hiding around 11 o'clock because that's just about when they get out.
Yeah, and he carries in his pocket, you know, a couple of wings to toss to him in case.
Yeah, you know, on Christmas he takes in a full leg of like lamb or a goat or something, and just tosses it to him.
Hell yes.
All right, well, then we'll go ahead and move on to our second painting. There are three, so this will be our second one.
All right.
So the next one is called the Dead Mother painting. Super gleeful sounding, isn't it?
Hey, Mom. Dead Mom.
So this is painted by Edvard Munch. A lot of people don't actually know this guy's name, but they know his work. He's actually famous for doing that famous Scream painting where the guy's just like, ah.
Ooh, that's
yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, yeah cool. So this guy made a cursed painting.
Scream was cursed already.
He had a very sad life, actually, so a lot of people think that his art is reflecting like the pain and stuff that he went through as a child. Like, his father would beat his mother, and they beat the kids, and the father had like a drinking problem and all this and that. So, I mean, like, he had a very rough life, so it's understandable that he would use art as an expression to kind of let out his feelings in that way. But he essentially created this painting So what we see in this painting is actually a little girl who's about 4 or 5. She wears a light white or blue little kind of dress sort of thing, and she's covering her ears with kind of a blank stare looking forwards. And what people think is that it's her being in denial after being told that the mother in the background that's laying in the bed is actually dead, mm-hmm. and that she's kind of not willing to listen to it. She doesn't want to believe it.
Interesting. I'm interested to see why the dark shadow behind her feet extends all the way under the bed.
I don't know. Could definitely see that, though. It's said that this painting is also created through Evard. His mother passed away when he was about 5 or 6 of pneumonia, is how she passed away. They think this is kind of his own rendition of that.
Okay, it's like his recreation of that event.
Right.
Where
so
the area where the mother is completely devoid of interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like blackish white, almost blue kind of looking. Mm-hmm. While he was still alive, one of the things that he actually did say was that sickness, madness, and death were the black angels who watched over his cradle. Essentially, anything bad is going to happen, it's going to happen to him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who have actually owned that painting of the little girl have basically given it up very quickly. They say that the little girl's eyes will follow you throughout the room, which I've heard can be an optical illusion with a lot of paintings. It's just a matter of, you know, it's dead center, so it's really easy to kind of like look from another angle and think that it's looking that way. But mm-hmm. they've also said that they can hear the sheets rustling from the mother's bed. And there mm-hmm. have been times where people who have owned the painting have said that both characters in the painting, the mother and the daughter, have disappeared out of the photo. And I don't know how I would feel about that if I like already owned a kind of creepy looking photo or painting, and then I like walked in one day and like the characters were gone.
At that point, you just gotta burn the fucker down.
I'm surprised people haven't yet. Like, I don't think I would sell it. My first intention would be like, well, this needs to go.
This is a thing of evil.
Right? Like, they should not be moving by themselves.
Either that or somebody stole just the characters, in which case, good job, Mr. Burglar, I guess.
I mean, you'd have to, like, paint over them, like, so specifically, and they always come back.
Oh, this is true.
So
maybe they're outlets.
Maybe. There are people, too, that say that the painting just in general, whenever they're in the same room as it, just feel uncomfortable. Like, they just feel this sense of, like, being watched and kind of crept over. Hmm. Any questions?
Okay. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. This seems like a very creepy, traumatic event. And if the sheets are ruffling, like, that implies that dead mom might not be so dead, or might be extra dead.
Or that's what that shadow is underneath the bed.
Ooh, interesting.
I don't know. Maybe it's, like, more of a spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wonder, like, whether his trauma, like, imprinted onto the painting, or, like, if each of those is one entity. I don't know. There's a lot of different interesting ways in which an object can be imprinted as a symbol to then make people feel uncomfortable and change shapes and stuff.
There are a lot of people that think that you can actually manifest energy, whether it's positive, negative, happy, sad, whichever. You can actually manifest energy into specific items. And that's why you see a lot of sort of haunted dolls or clown figures and stuff like that. Or even just, you know, when someone passes away and they have that one specific item that you keep, they potentially could have their spirit attached to it. So I think maybe it could even be something like that, is once he passed on, or even just if he did express such emotion into this, potentially it could have energy to it. And that's what people feel when they feel uncomfortable around it.
Yeah, it's possible that he, like, excised the trauma of that event from his brain in order to put it to the painting, and that trauma just kind of bleeds into anyone that's nearby.
Right, I could see that. But yeah, so right now it's owned by another family. It's just basically been getting handed down family to family, and I don't think I could do that. I don't think I would own that photo.
I mean, I might try it just to see, but I don't know, that's some creepy shit.
Yeah, so then we bring it on home to our third creepy painting. Now, this one is technically haunted, although it has a little bit of a story to it. So there's a man named Charles Trevor, and he painted a duplicate of Richard King's original painting, Love Letters, which is essentially just a painting of a little girl. She's holding a letter in one hand and flowers in the other hand. And the thing is, nobody knows. They all know it's a duplicate, but nobody knows what happened to the original. It just doesn't, it's not a thing. It doesn't exist. Nobody has it. Nobody knows where it is. Nobody knows, like, if Charles Trevor had this painting at some point and then painted a duplicate and then processed it out, or if he happened to see it somewhere and then just recreated it, or what happened. But the original one is just, as of right now, MIA.
So he just attributed the painting to the original creator? Or how do they know that an original exists?
It says that it's a duplicate. Okay. On, like, the back of it, kind of a thing.
Okay, gotcha.
And it was painted, like, a long time ago, though. It was still painted at the end of the 1800s. There were people that tried to basically say that it was potentially a tribute to, like, the Civil War. It was, like, a little girl waiting for her father to come home. But the thing is, the guy who painted it is English. It's actually, like, a painting from England. So it wouldn't really make sense for him to be painting something Civil War-themed directly.
Yeah.
At least in that specific way. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean it's not for some other kind of war endeavor, but it's not for the American Civil War.
Yeah, like the Yanks don't really matter so much.
Right, not to England. There's so little information about the actual painting, if he painted it after a specific little girl, or what the painting is about, like why the flowers, why the letter. So there's so little information about what's actually going on there. But this painting can actually be found in Texas.
A British Child in Texas is my second favorite adventure movie.
So this is her, and I don't know, to me, I feel like she looks like a very, like, stereotypical creepy British child, honestly.
Oh, yeah, that girl will murder you and hide the bones.
Right? Just so, like, she's so innocent looking, but at the same time, like, behind those eyes, you know she's just waiting for blood.
Yeah, like, I half expect if this picture were to move and she opened her mouth, I would see needles.
Or if her smile just got a little bigger.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
Essentially, this painting right now is actually located in Texas. It's at the Driscoll Hotel in Texas. And you can actually find it up on the fifth floor. When you walk up the stairs, it's basically just, boom, right at the top of the stairs. And people in the hotel, they have a story, basically, they tell about the painting that says that the little girl is based off of, or the picture is haunted by a little girl named Samantha, who actually died on the fifth floor while she was trying to get a ball that she had dropped while playing near the stairs, and she fell down the stairs and ended up breaking her neck and causing her to perish. So now she haunts that photo and kind of, like, plays tricks on people.
Interesting. So does this spirit seem malevolent, or just kind of like a trickster?
Mostly just a trickster, I would say. People say that it feels like your hair is getting tugged on, or you're getting pushed at sometimes. There are people that say, like, they do see her, like, move. I don't know if I would be very cool with that if I happened to see that. But if I saw a little girl running at me in a period time clothing like that, I can't guarantee that I'm not going to kick her. But yeah, they say that the little girl's soul is supposedly trapped in the painting, and that you can actually get a super uneasy feeling, almost as though you're nauseous if you look at the painting for too long. Hmm. It's said that her expression will change. Like, it's not even just her moving, like, maybe her hand moves. She'll go from looking just like a little smile to, like, sad or mad or even, like, too excited. And that definitely creeps people out. And then there have even been a couple of cases where people say it feels like they're being lifted off the ground.
Whoa.
So I'm like, that's a pretty strong little girl.
Yeah, powerful child.
Right? So yeah, nobody really knows what she's haunted by, though. Is it an English, British, like, child that's haunting it, or is it a Texan?
Yeah, we should check the prank histories of Texas and Britain and see if they line up with some of the ghosts.
I think Britain probably has more trickster kids than Texas would.
I don't know. Have you met many Texans?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, any questions, comments, or concerns on the love letters painting?
I wonder who the love letter is to.
She's kind of young, so I'm going to assume it's probably, like, a family member or a friend. Not going to be anything, like, super crazy.
Outside.
Well, I guess I could take that back, because it was the 1800s and people were pretty gross back then. We've gotten better, I would say, if there weren't so many documentaries currently out.
Oh man, things are better, but not by as much as we would like.
Right, not as much as they should be. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all I have for you today.
All right.
Any other questions, comments, or concerns?
No. It was a really interesting trip through the history of ghosts and painting.
Unfortunately, this one wasn't super duper ghosty, but I've had these paintings like on my list for a really long time, and I really wanted to go over them just because they're interesting in themselves. So I'm really glad I got to do that with you.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, my name's Dalton.
And my name is Chaz. Boo.
Thanks for listening to the Boo Voice. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and make sure you check out the rest of my episodes. If you want to see some more or just have a little bit of input about what else we talk about, make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter. You can also check out our Facebook. And make sure you look up the YouTube as well, because you never know what kind of content might be coming out of the Boo Boys. Thanks. Bye.